The markets fell today on the back of worries regarding the Fed meeting and the blasts in Kabul. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 26th day of August. Thanks for being with us. The Taliban tried and failed to get nearly $10 billion. We will share that story. This week, Tim Cook of Apple gets some real money. Some things that are disappearing from your grocery store, and we've got a list. There's also a change of clothing happening. Slowly, but there is change. There's also change happening in home fitness equipment. You know, it's never a good idea to inflate your company's value. Never. We've got the Wall Street Report, and did you know, how could you miss it? It is National Dog Day. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com. And by Oasis, a paychecks company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at oasisadvantage.com.
Our thanks to you, Hunter Pease, and welcome once again to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us all day, all night on Twitter, at IOB_NewsHour. The markets broke their multi-day winning streak today as cautious investors looked to the central bank meeting that started today in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and the two blasts and attacks at or near the Kabul airport that have resulted in 12 U.S. service personnel dead, along with scores of Afghan civilians. Early reports link the attack to ISIS, and the Taliban, as well as multiple nations, have condemned the murders. This is obviously a developing story. In a related story, the Taliban has attempted to get their hands on roughly $10 billion that belonged to the Afghan nation, but there seems to be a problem. Business Insider is reporting that the Taliban may have seized control of Afghanistan for now, but the group can't access the nearly $10 billion in reserve in the country's central bank. Why? Most of which is reportedly held by the Federal Reserve in New York. Last week, Taliban members attempted to inspect Afghans' billions of dollars in foreign reserves, only to be told by officials at the country's central bank, the Afghanistan Bank, that they could not access it because it was being stored by the feds in New York. And then there is the fact that most of the central bank's roughly $9.5 billion in assets were frozen by the U.S. last week after the Taliban swiftly took control of Afghanistan following the stunning collapse of the Afghan government. Former Afghan ambassador to Canada and France, Omar Samid, has said the Taliban does not have the expertise to run a country, and they're reaching out to technocrats and renowned Afghans. They know they're going to need these non-Taliban figures to help out in their government. A decade ago, Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, agreed to a 10-year payout based on a number of things, and he's about to close that deal. Bloomberg is reporting that Cook, who negotiated the deal, first joined Apple back in the late 1990s after stints at Compaq and IBM. Cook quickly became Apple's top operations executive and the number two to Steve Jobs. As great as Jobs was at dreaming up the next major product, Cook was an expert at making those devices happen, manufacturing and distribution-wise. Apple's soaring stock has allowed Cook to collect top payouts year after year, and it's made him a billionaire. He currently has a net worth of about $1.5 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. The Apple executive said in 2015 that he plans to give most of his fortune away and has already donated millions of dollars worth of Apple shares. His haul consists of about 5 million shares worth roughly $750 million, according to calculations by Bloomberg News. Part of the payout is contingent on Apple's stock return over the past 3 years, surpassing at least two-thirds of companies in the S&P 500, a threshold the iPhone maker cleared by a wide margin. If you were with us last week, we had a story about a chain of 93 grocery stores in the South that had resorted to making their own Lunchables. That's a product of Kraft Heinz, who says, by the way, they're trying to catch up on their production. But Lunchables are not the only thing many shoppers can no longer find in their grocery store. The Wall Street Journal reports that other kid favorites, including frozen waffles and Gatorade, are experiencing a shortage. And if that's not enough, resin, aluminum, and other raw materials used for most packaging is running low. And according to CNN, Nike shoes, school supplies, cars, coffee, computer chips, and jet fuel are also hard to get your hands on right now, just in case you need a gallon of jet fuel. And here we thought we had left 2020 behind. While many who have been working from home have gotten used to sweatpants and t-shirts, there is a subtle change happening, and it's in the clothing industry, and our first hint comes from Gap. Reuters is reporting that Gap has raised its full-year net sales forecast for the second time, betting on hot demand for its old fashion and Athleta clothing brands as socializing makes a comeback with easing pandemic curbs. San Francisco-based Gap also lifted its annual profit estimate, with both forecasts coming in above Wall Street expectations as the return to relative normalcy powers sales across the apparel industry, from department stores Macy's and Kohl's to discounters like TJ Maxx. Even clothing chains that had stocked up generously are running out of tops and dresses as schools and colleges reopen and people celebrate weddings, graduations, and group events again. So, hey, there is at least that to look forward to. But things are not so rosy over at Peloton. Market Watch is reporting the company has signaled that its pandemic boom will slow down, and the stock was pounded. Peloton reported fiscal fourth quarter losses of $313 million, or $1.05 a share, after reporting earnings of 27 cents a share a year ago. Peloton had warned about effects of its treadmill recall in its last earnings report, but still lost much more than expected. Analysts, on average, were predicting a loss of 44 cents a share, not a buck five. The exercise equipment company's full-year performance shows just how much COVID-19 pandemic supercharged its sales. For the full fiscal year, Peloton more than doubled sales, topping $4 billion after putting up $1.8 billion in the previous year and failing to clear $1 billion in revenue just the year before. You will get caught. You will get caught at some point if you are guilty of falsely inflating the value of your company. CNBC is reporting that Manish Lakhwini, the former CEO of tech startup Headspin, was arrested for allegedly defrauding investors to raise money, all that according to a U.S. Department of Justice complaint. The Securities and Exchange Commission also announced a lawsuit accusing Lakhwini of defrauding investors out of $80 million. The complaint alleges several instances where Lakhwini told employees to include revenue from potential customers that inquired but had not yet engaged Headspin, from past customers who no longer did business with Headspin, and from existing customers whose business was far less than the reported revenue. Lakhwini also allegedly overstated Headspin's annual recurring revenue by about $51 to $55 million, and all of this started way back in 2018. Well, for the first time in six sessions, both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ closed lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed a 0.5% down by 192 points to finish at 35,113. It was the first negative close in five sessions. The S&P 500 index closed down by 0.6, off by 26 points at 4,470, while the NASDAQ finished the day 0.6 lower, off by 96 points to close at 14,946. In economic data, the Labor Department said first-time jobless claims rose by 4,000 last week to 353,000, slightly above forecasts after dipping to a pandemic low in the previous week. A second estimate of U.S. gross domestic product, that's the official scorecard of U.S. economic expansion, showed annualized growth of 6.6% compared with an initial reading of 6.5%. Economists had looked for a revised rate of 6.7%. The slump in equities also happened as the Pentagon confirmed that at least 12 U.S. service members and scores of others were killed following two explosions near Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul, Afghanistan. Well, it might be the dog days of summer, but it's also National Dog Day. Heck, it's also International Dog Day. According to the Wall Street Journal, the reason we're so in love with these creatures is because of the way they can move their eyebrows, appearing to express emotion. Now, it's no small feat, and dogs have been developing that skill for millennia in the hope of getting a caregiving response from humans. And it looks like it's working, because today, 78 million pups are loyal companions in U.S. households. 78 million. And we've got, let's see, five of them. Yikes. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.